Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Audio Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For today's message, Pastor Jasper teaches an encouraging and challenging message entitled Mind Control. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
Ever since you entered this world, your mind has been influenced in some way. Ever since you entered this world, your mind has been influenced in some way. There are many devices, instruments, and tools that are being used to influence your thinking with the intent of shaping your personality. There are many devices, instruments, and tools that are being used to influence your thinking with the intent to shape your personality. This shaping and molding of your being starts as early as possible. The earlier, the better. The enemy knows if he can shape your thinking into his way of processing in your mind, then your actions and behavior will be as he would operate in this world. Whoever controls the mind controls the body. Whoever controls the mind controls the body. Amen. And I'm going to give a quick illustration this morning, and I'm going to need y'all help. I'm going to need your help. All right? And if you are familiar with my words, you are welcome to sing along. All right? And I'm going to hit the younger generation first because that's what I grew up in. And then I'm going to try to get y'all old folks, all right? I'm sorry. Did I say old folks? Man, you can't take back words, can you? I wish you could. No, don't hear that. All right, follow along with me. Well, this is a story all about how life got twist turned upside down. Now, I'd like to take a minute just, I'll tell you how to play the sound called for that. Doom, 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 doom. All right? We know that one, right? How? How can we all know? Amen? Here go another one. Now, this our generation. Don't be ashamed. You know you grew up in the house hearing this. I love you.
You love me.
We're a
family
with a hug and a me to you, won't you tell you love me too? Amen. You know you grew up and listened to that. I did. I surely did. Amen. All right. Here's a story about the lady who has the girls. Here go. Mother, come on with it. Come on, old folks. You know you got that. I'm sorry. It just keeps slipping out. I'm so sorry. Charge it to my head, not to my heart. Amen. I mean, my brother back there, he say, young. Amen. 50 years young. I barely knew it. I had to go to YouTube. I barely knew it. I was trying to pull on y'all, man. Amen. But I watched it, though. Amen. But my point is, you got influenced. Amen. I got influenced. We got programmed. Amen. Not saying it's necessarily bad, but as many other devices and tools and things that we got programmed to. Not just a theme song to a TV show. Amen? And this is so powerful. Amen? If the devil can use tools and instruments, so do God. And he got it from somewhere because he's not an inventor of nothing. He's just a perverter. He take what God creates and then turn it into something that's never intended to be used like that in the first place. Amen? Wait, how did this happen? How did we all know these songs? What could have transpired for all of us to know all these words? Well, a lot happened for these words and images to get in you. Someone made it and you received it in some way. The point is, you received it. It entered your soul in some way. Amen? Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions, and specifically your mind. The mind is a very intriguing part of us that most of the time work without us making it. In order for us to be effective Christians, we must begin to let God's word invade our minds. That means we must begin to delete old thought patterns as we come into the knowledge of God's word. And we know Jesus is God's word. Jesus is God's word, or God's thoughts, manifested into the open where it can be seen and followed. Let me say that again. Jesus is God's thoughts manifested into the open where it can be seen and followed. Amen. Go to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7 through 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 9. And it reads, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways are your, or my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." All right? If we're going to allow God to take control of our mind, it's very important that we understand. I'm not just going to tell you what to do this morning. I'll tell you what's wrong with you this morning. I really want to give you the tools so you can start reversing the process. Amen. Reversing what has been started in you that's not like God. Amen. And in order for this to happen, God got answers for us in his word. Amen. And a lot of times we need these answers. But God wants us to come up to his way of thinking. Not just his ways are higher and we'll never be able to attain them. No, he reveals his thoughts so you'll be able to see as he see, think as he think, have his motive and why he even do things. This is the reason we have God's word. This is the reason we have Jesus, all right? And God wants to take control of your mind. He wants his thoughts to be yours. It's just how you process. Amen. Just like it's easy for us to process everything else, it's easy for us to process it. It's not hard once we have accepted a way of thinking. It's just easy for us to flow in there, right? But it seemed difficult at first because a lot of your thinking is the opposite of what God would do. It's not as hard. It's just you're not used to thinking this way. You're not used to operating. We've not been conditioned to think like God if we haven't been raised up in this. Amen? We've been raised another way. We've been trained by a lie. This is so important that you grab this. Most of us have been trained by a lie. We've been raised up by a lie. Amen. And this is so important that we grab this concept. Because once you know truth, lies are just exposed. You don't have to think. There's no thinking involved. Once you know truth, lies are just exposed. You just know. Amen. Like if I tried to convince you that your name was Taquita. You girl, you know your name, Taquita. Stop playing. What's your name? Valissa. No, it ain't. No, it ain't, girl. It's Taquita. Just like you are confident to know that your name is Velissa, you can be just that confident in God's word, of knowing truth, and never have to waver, no matter how many times somebody tell you it's not true. Amen? And it's so important. I'm going to give you some techniques and tools this morning so we can use this in real time, in real life, so we always be on God's word. Amen? Mind control. But God's ways are not our ways. Go to John 1:1, St. John, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All right? And we see here it says was, but Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. So Jesus is God's Word. Jesus is what God would say and do. Amen. He is the absolute truth of God. Amen. Everybody else was just shadows and types, portions of truth, especially in the Old Testament. You got portions of truth. But Jesus said he is the truth, the absolute truth. Amen. There is nothing in Christ that you say, okay, I don't have to follow that. All right? Maybe in me. Amen. You probably see something in me, it's like, okay, Jasper, I ain't got to follow that. Why? Because you follow me as I follow Christ, right? If you see something fleshy in me, you don't have to follow, right? Amen? If you see something that's not like Christ in me, I advise you not to follow it. Please don't take this as an example for you to do. Amen? Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? And everything you're about to hear this morning is what I practice, what I've learned, what I still practice to this day. Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Have you ever seen God? How many of y'all ever seen God? The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. Amen? So how do you see God? How do you know what God do and what he don't do? Who is our example that we should follow to take God at his to know God's character? And that's Jesus. Amen. Why? He's the visible image, what you can see about God that we need to follow. All right? How do we begin to think like God? I believe it's very important reality. When one start on this journey of allowing God to control your thoughts, and this is the art of enjoying correction. In order for God to start taking control of your mind, you will have to start enjoying correction. This is so important. This is one of the most important areas of your life that you will learn, is to learn how to enjoy correction. And sometimes you can't even say that right. That sounds funny coming out, right? Enjoying correction. All right? But this is what ultimately happens when God's word, this is why people run away from the word, because there's a lot of correction. But you learn to enjoy the correction, right? Yes. Amen. By faith. Yes. Because I didn't say it has to feel good. I didn't say that. Amen. But we learn to enjoy it and like it. Why? Because it's love. It's true love. It's the ultimate form of love when God corrects us. And that's good. Amen? And in order for you to get controlled in your mind by God, it's going to be some correction. When you get saved, I'm telling you, man, and you get in that word, you know, a lot of stuff you're not used to hearing, like love your enemies. That's not in the world. That's a process you will not hear growing up. Amen. That teaching is not in the world. But it can mess up your thinking when you first get saved. Because you're like, huh, what? What you mean? Do that work? What? Especially when you start relating it to real life and not just the Bible you're reading or a book that you're reading. And you're trying to transfer that information to real time. Amen. Your thinking will be challenged. Amen. But this must take place, must take place in order to follow Jesus. Amen. I must emphasize, follow Jesus. Not just believe in Jesus, because I did that growing up. And if one of them little girls would have pulled me to the back, we would have had sex in the back of the church. Why? Because I was fleshy. I just believed in Jesus. I ain't believing following Jesus or doing what he said. Amen. And that's just the reality of it. And many people just have a belief in Jesus without the intent to follow him. All right? And what am I mean? Can I break that down? Follow him? Do what he says. Amen? Do what Jesus tells you to do. That's following him. Amen? And this is Christianity, you know. By the way, this is Christianity. Amen. All right, let's go to some more scriptures. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And I must talk about correction because it's very important in order for God to take control of your thinking or him can have control of your mind, we have to learn to enjoy correction. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Can y'all read those scriptures? Are they hard to read? Okay, they're good. I know that light background kind of, but they're good. All right, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Everyone there? At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. We have to learn how to be converted. The Bible says, Jesus said, Matthew 18, verse 2, he said, in order for you to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be converted and become like a child or childlike. Another version, New Living Translation in Matthew 11, 5, it says, at that time, Jesus prayed this prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things for those who think themselves to be wise and clever and for revealing them to the childlike. All right? In order for us to start allowing God to take control of our thinking, this is so important, guys. We must humble ourselves as children. All right? That means we must start over in what we think we know. All right? Because how many of you all had trying to articulate something to someone or some wisdom to someone and they thought they already knew? Everybody. And let me say it again. How many of y'all have tried to transfer some information from you to help somebody else? And it's going to help them. Amen. You're going off a cliff and you're going to bust your head if you don't take this advice, right? But they already know. I'm good. I'm straight. I got this. Can you help them? Okay, let's go back to the scripture. He said, it's hidden from them, the wise and the prudent. It's information hidden from you and me and them if we ever be so puffed up that we can't take it. It's hidden. That information is never being transferred to them. If I'm bringing them correction, it's never being transferred. And guess what? They're going to bust their head. Why? Because they never received the information that I was trying to convey to them, right? Amen. That's why it's so important in order for God to take control of your thinking. You must start over. You must become like a child or not have fight with God. Because a child believes anything you tell them, good or bad, right? They're like a sponge, man. They soaking all of life in, whether it's good or bad, right? And we never approach God with the attitude as if we already know. Why? Because you don't want wisdom to be hidden from you. All right? But then Jesus said it's revealed to babes. Who is a babe? Man, I don't know. I do not know, Lord. Teach me. All right? A babe is very ignorant, but they're willing to learn. They're willing to learn. I didn't say be childish, childlike. Amen? It's a big difference. Amen, because the Lord do want us to grow up, amen. But We must emphasize this point. This is how you start learning to love correction. Go in with the assumption you might be wrong. Amen? Go into God's word or into any area of a relationship that you might not know. All right? And I'm going to give you further revelation. You don't if it ain't from God's word. And if we go ahead and just go ahead and admit, if I don't know what God said, I just don't know. Amen? All right? Let's keep moving forward. Man, that's good. I want to stay there. I mean, golly. Man, that's good. Proverbs 26, verse 12. It says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Amen? Teach me, Lord. Proverbs 9, verse 8. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Lord, teach me how to be wise. Teach me how to be wise, Lord. And sometimes they might not say it nice when you get rebuked. Actually, a rebuke ain't supposed to be nice. Amen. It ain't supposed to be, hey, you know what? You know you're doing this the wrong way. No. That's not a rebuke. I don't know what that is. But a rebuke's supposed to be stern. It's supposed to be with force. Amen? But they said it the wrong. No, wise, a wise man, take it. Take it. And ask Jesus what you need to know from it. And you'll be wiser. Amen? And forget how they said it. Just grow. Amen? Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves instructions, love knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. That's what the Bible says now. Don't get mad at me. I ain't say it, but let me say it again. But he who hates correction is stupid. Like, that's what it says. Amen? Don't get mad at me. But I don't want to be stupid. Lord, teach me. Amen. And these are sobering messages to kind of recalibrate us back to being humble. Amen. Especially when it pertains to God's word. If you're going to allow God to start taking control of your thinking and control of your mind, you will be challenged. He will challenge your thinking. Because we, like I said, we've been trained all our life to think and to process a certain way. And Jesus come to destroy those works in your life. And in order for those to be destroyed, he has to give you his words of life. Because this is what's changing. Because control the mind, and you can control the body. You want to change your behavior, you have to change your thinking. Amen? You want to change your thinking, and we're going to have to be wrong. Amen? We're going to have to be wrong and let Jesus be right. Say, teach me, Lord. And this is so important. This is how I've grown. This is how Jesus done taught me how to grow. It's just to be wrong and let him be right. All right? It seems so simple, but we have to teach on this stuff sometimes. Because we fight and argue over things that we shouldn't have to. Amen? All arguments, when they keep going, you're trying to prove you right. Okay, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're trying to prove us to be right. I'm right, and I know I'm right, you know, and so you keep digging at it, but that's not how we win. Why? Because God don't do it. Amen? You always look at God and see how he whooped and won in life, and never, amen, that's good. You always look at God and see how he won, and then follow that example in your life, and we win then. Amen? Praise the Lord, that's good. Man, I got blessed. That's some good stuff, man. I'm telling you. All right. The next very important step to allowing God to invade your thinking. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. This is the next very important step in order for God to start invading your thinking. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bring forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bring forth evil things. For out the abundance of the heart, his mouth will speak. This one thing that will always be true. God will never come out unless we put him in. All right? I know you have Jesus in your heart by faith. Amen. And this is true. I'm not coming against your salvation. Amen. But in order to start looking like Jesus, you have to start allowing his way of thinking to become yours. All right? That's what's going to determine your actions, how you think. And just not us biting our lip to try so hard to, you know, not be around them and I forgive you and all that stuff. You know, it shouldn't be that hard, saints. Amen. We don't have to bite our lip to be a Christian. Shouldn't have to anyway. I ain't never done it. Amen. When I was in the flesh, I was just in the flesh, you know, and got on my knees and asked Jesus to teach me, Lord. I don't want to keep snapping and going off, Lord. Teach me how not to keep these behaviors in my life, Lord. Because obviously I don't know. Why? Because I keep getting it wrong. Amen. When I see that red X on my test, I can't just make believe it's right. It's wrong. Amen. So what do? I go study that specific area until I get it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. This statement is true. Good in and good out, right? So God in and God out. Change your intake. All right? Change what you feed on. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but our intake as people, we have gates. We have our eye gate. Amen. We have ear gates. And mainly our mouth. Amen. And these areas, the enemy try to take advantage of. Amen. To influence you, to influence your thinking, for you to accept a way and let it become normal to you. Or you to accept something as truth to you, and it's not necessarily Jesus. Amen? And it's so important that we guard these areas or be aware what we're feeding on. If we're going to let God take control of our mind, what are you feeding on? What am I feeding on? What are you sowing into yourself? Last week, Pastor Angela talked about plowing last week. It was good, too. How many of y'all was here? Man, it was good. Boy, she preaching over there today, that message. I advise you to get the CD on that or listen on the podcast, okay? This is a very important message. And she talked about plowing. And a lot of times, God plows through those hard areas of our lives, amen, and get all the rocks out and try to get through those tough areas with the plow, and it's uncomfortable. Amen. But I'm here to piggyback on that. And then she said, you plant seeds after that. Amen. But it's so important that you plant the right seed. Amen. You plant the right seed. Amen. What kind of seed are you planting? Because harvest is coming, and you are going to reap something. What kind of seed are you planting? Because harvest is coming, and you will reap something. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 9. We have to be very, very attentive to what we feed on. Amen. Especially as truth. As something that's important that can shape your behavior and shape your personality. Very important, amen, to allow God's word to invade your thinking and correct you. And he say, you know, just one instance, he say, forgive, amen. And the enemy, he'll say forgive too, but he'll add, I'll never forget, amen. And anytime you'll never forget, you're unforgiving. Because what happens, this is what happens. We forgive somebody, we pray. You say, Lord, I forgive them, Lord. We come to the altar, I let it go, finally. You know, let this go. And then when we ride down the street, a thought come into our head of what they did. I just can't believe they done that. Amen. What do you do about this stuff, man? This real stuff, man. I mean, this real stuff. What do you do about that? Amen. You just forgave them. And then the enemy come and provoke you with the same thing that you forgave them of. Why? Because he wants you to unforgive them. He wants you to keep remembering. We have to fight them thoughts that come. And this is what I'm, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What if Jesus keep remembering your sins? Amen. Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. All right? And Jesus done taught me through that new commandment to love one another as I have taught you. He's taught me to see how he be doing me, to really study how God loves you. How did he actually do it? What was his motive and why he even did it in the first place? And let that be my motive. Once I find that out through God's word, because there's plenty of scriptures and we don't have time to go through all of them. Once we find out God's motive, then let that be your motive and why you forgive. Because in one verse he says in Isaiah 43:25, it ain't up there, 43:25, he said, it's I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, this is God now. Don't he know everything? And then he says, I will not remember. What we're learning is how not to remember. Is how not to remember. So what do you do to that thought that comes to you and say, you know what they did? I can't believe they did that. And guess what the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get you to rehash it. My brother said in Sunday school, he's trying to get you to relive it. It means to relive. Amen. So what do you want to do? He wants you to forgive him on the altar and then beat you up for the rest of the time. And then now, I thought I was past this. Now the emotions come back, the feelings come back, and all the pain still there. And we have to fight. How do we fight when those thoughts come back? No, they forgiven. I throw it into the sea of forgetfulness and never to be brought. Guess what God do to your sins? He throw it into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again. As the east is from the west, so is my sin has been separated from me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? And then transferring how he do you to somebody else. So if I've forgiven them, then why what they do keep coming back to my mind? You have to learn how to walk by faith and say, no, I've forgiven them of that. I'm not holding that against them no more. They, and this is so true, they didn't do that. Why do we have to say that? But they did it. They did it. I said by faith now. Why? Because when you get forgiveness, God treats you as if you never done it. We just read, I just quoted you a scripture. And I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. All right? So if God not remembering or sitting up in heaven saying, man, dude did that again, man. I'm telling you, man, I'm about to call a meeting with the 24 elders, man. In the morning, I just don't know about forgiving you this time because how many times you done did that? I just see you in the morning. I see you in the morning. I got to call a meeting. Let's go, Peter. Y'all come on back here. Let's talk about what they did. No, he ain't doing all that. Amen? He throws it into the sea and hit the bottom. If it comes back up, it ain't God. It's never God when it come back up. This is so true. Why? Because you don't want yours coming back up. Amen. And learning how to operate like this in real time. Amen. When you're driving down the street and that thought come. And I done had them come plenty of times. People I love done me wrong. I ain't never did nothing wrong to them. Amen. And we all done been there. Amen. You wouldn't be a Christian if you ain't never been there. God gonna make sure you feel them feelings. Why? Because he got nothing like that, right? And we are learning to operate as he operates, Amen. Oh, Lord, how long I've been up here. Amen. There's some strong stuff, man. But this stuff is so liberating. Why? Because I fight them thoughts. Once I forgive them, I fight them. And I say, they ain't do that. No, I ain't holding that against them. And I speak it out my mouth. I say, no, devil, get out of here. Because I know it's the devil. It ain't God bring it back. Amen. It ain't God. And that's how I stay free. That's how I stay free, no matter what people do to me. It's from accepting truth. And I'm here to teach you these principles today. I'm here to show you this. I was telling them in Sunday school, I said, even my kids know this principle. I come and I say, baby, you know you did this. She said, daddy, I thought you forgave me of that. I said, amen. Amen. Daddy, I thought you forgave me. You supposed to forgive me. I said, yes, ma'am. Yeah, you right. Talking about something that we did 2 weeks ago is not permitted in my house. Month ago, if I did something wrong, my wife can't keep talking about it. And I'm not enforcing her. I'm just telling you, when Jesus' love is ruling, you have to give people what Jesus be giving you. He ain't sitting up in heaven keep talking about stuff people doing wrong. It's illegal. It don't even happen. Why? Because God is ruling her and God is ruling. And I don't even have to say, you shouldn't be. Amen. Because once you start making this your aim, make love your attention, make what he do is what you do. Amen. Then you can't keep arguing. You can't keep fighting. You can't do it. Why? Because it's supposed to be in the sea of forgiveness. Amen. We do talk things out. Don't get me wrong. But we just can't keep doing that. Amen. Why? Jesus, don't do me like that. That's my motive. That's my motive. How do God do you? I always ask that question when you go to react. Not just what Jesus would do. No, how he been doing you when you got on your knees last night and asked for forgiveness. Amen. That's good. And this is what keeps me free, keeps me in a place of just liberty. Amen. Because it's never on my mind. I fight them. I guard this mind. They are never on my mind. Amen. It's so important that we get them off our mind. And only love can overcome. Faith worked by love. Amen. And if God did this on the cross and whooped the devil, the Bible says he made a show of them openly, publicly having a victory over them on the cross when he forgave us of all our sins. He made a show of them. He publicly displayed his victory over the devil by forgiving us. Why? Because the devil wants something wrong. Listen, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. The devil cannot operate unless he has something wrong to work with. That's why he don't want you to get forgiven of all your sins, because he don't have nothing to hold against you that he can come to God and say, see? No, he took all my sins away. Amen? That's why death don't have no right to stay on me. Why? Because Jesus made me right and nothing wrong between me and God. Amen? And now, since that victory, since we living in that victory and see what Jesus did actually whooped the devil, let's find out how to operate in it and keep him whooped in our life. Let's find out how God did it. How God got the victory. Amen? And just say, teach me, Jesus. Amen? And we're going to be saying that for a lot, for that forever. Teach me, Jesus, forever. Amen? I don't know, but you do. Amen? Just stay humble like a child, and you'll grow like a giant. I promise you, you'll far surpass all your peers. Everyone around, you'll just keep going up and up, and you just stay humble. Amen? And don't ever think somebody taking advantage of you, and you got to stand for your rights. Now, you stand if he tell you. Amen? But did we see that example in Jesus? Ask that question. Amen? How did God overcome social issues? It's so important. How did God overcome social issues? Amen? And follow that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Boy, that's good, man. Oh, Jesus. I got to get the CD. Listen, we got some, I must remind y'all that we was promoting getting on the podcast to listen to these messages, but I had to implement getting CDs again. So if y'all want CDs, just fill out the little yellow slip in the back. It looks just like this right here. And make sure you listen to these over and over, especially if it's being a blessing to you. Amen. All right. And what was I at? Mark 4, verse 3 through 9. All right. This is a parable Jesus was speaking. No, we're not going to go there. Let's go on to Mark 14, 4 through 4 and 14. And I just talk to you. This is a parable that this was a sower soweth the word parable. And Jesus was explaining a parable about a sower went out to sow seed. Amen. And it was different harvests that came up. You know, one version says 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold was a different harvest production. And so Jesus was explaining them this parable about the sower soweth the word on rocky soil, and one was in very thorny area, and then it was some good soil, amen? And then the disciples asked Jesus, what does this parable mean? Always do that, amen? Because Jesus never explained parables to people that didn't want it, all right? Jesus said to the people, parables are spoken all the time. And then he went and explained to the disciples. So always ask Jesus, what does this mean? Amen. Never come up and try to think and figure. Just ask Jesus, what does this mean? Because now we're going to read the explanation. That's why Jesus said, he started explaining what the parable meant based on the disciples searching and seeking an explanation from the parable. Amen. But no one ever got explained unless they were seeking. Amen. He just gave them in parables. Amen. And just like Nicodemus came at night seeking, and he kept inquiring, how can these things be? He said, you must be born. He said, how? And then Jesus broke it all the way down to the lowest common denominator. God so loved the world. That's where that revelation came from. Nicodemus didn't stop until he got it. It's so important. Amen? He didn't stop until he got it. And now we able to read the revelation from Nicodemus seeking Jesus. Amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Boom, 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 boom. How did he come into the world to condemn the world? Believe this. Amen? All right. And so now, Jesus explaining. Mark 4, verse 14. The sower sows the word. Amen. We're going to stop right there. Mark 4, 23 and 25 in closing. Mark 4, 23 through 25. And it says, anyone who has with ears to hear, this is the New Living Translation, it might be a little different. Anyone who has ears to hear should be listening, to listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Amen. So the sower sows the word. What are you sowing into your life? What are you allowing to take root into your life? And we talked about be aware of what seeds you are sowing. Amen. Do you actually feed on Jesus and allow him to transform your thinking? Amen. The sower soweth the word. What are you sowing? Because the disciples sowed the word. And Jesus said, whoever has my teachings, whoever sows my word, more understanding will be given. More understanding will be given based on what you feed on, based on how you sow. What are you allowing to invade your thinking? because harvest is truly coming. And out the abundance of the heart, out the abundance, the overflow of what you put in, you will reap. And you're going to reap whether you want to or not. And it's going to manifest. And it's going to show up. Amen. And I've seen this in my life so many times. Be aware what you feed on, what do you sow into your life. Because I talk with people and I hear nothing but word coming up. I say, man, that brother fool. I say, my God. I'm talking about just truth after truth after truth. You know, and yeah, I like basketball and I like things, but what are we putting into it? What's priority? What's number one that we put in? And if anything the Lord bring into your heart, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. Teach me how not to make idols in my life, Lord.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has impacted your life through our church, we want to hear your story. So please email us your testimonies at amen@r4sq.org. You can also visit our website to learn more about our church at r4sq.org. We pray today's message encourage you and empower you. Have a great week.